You are Locked On Bears, your daily Chicago Bears podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
You are Locked On Bears, and I'm your host, Lauren Cox. I cover the Chicago Bears for NBC Sports Chicago, and I cover the NFL for Pro Football Focus. Locked On Bears is your podcast destination for daily Chicago Bears news and analysis. Today, we are keeping you up to date with all of the latest in the world of the Chicago Bears, including some injury updates out of Halas Hall, the latest from Alshon Jeffery and some of the subtle shots he may have fired toward the Bears ahead of their matchup, and we'll wrap up with a look at Jordan Howard's late season resurgence and how that could carry over into the wildcard round of the playoffs. Let's start with Wednesday's injury news. The first day the Bears were back at Halas Hall to practice, and last week against the Minnesota Vikings, we saw this Bears team go through some injuries, have some key guys exit the game. A few of them came back, a few of them didn't. And, you know, I think Matt Nagy drew a little bit of criticism for continuing to play his starters, even though the Rams game proved to be a little bit out of control and a little bit determined, locking the Bears in their playoff spot. But we've talked on this podcast before about how I stand by that being the right decision for this Bears team. And so far, the injury repercussions from that game seem to be minimal at this point. You may remember Taylor Gabriel left with a rib injury, Anthony Miller left with a shoulder injury, and even Kyle Long did not play the whole game after coming off of injured reserve for his ankle injury. All three of those players were full participants at the Bears practice on Wednesday, and throw Allen Robinson in that same group. Robinson, Miller, Gabriel, and Kyle Long all were full participants in Wednesday's practice. No holding back, just a regular old full-on day of practice for four really key injured Bears. And it's important to have this wide receiver core in particular back up to full strength to give Mitchell Trubisky his full repertoire of weapons, the full arsenal, because I think we started to see in that second half against the Vikings just a little bit of these nightmarish flashbacks to 2017 when, you know, Josh Bellamy and Kevin White were actually two of your top receivers, at least when healthy, because Robinson, Gabriel, and Miller were all out. So it was the Kevin White, Josh Bellamy, and Javon Wims show, and those are not the receivers you want to be relying on in the playoffs. So huge to have Gabriel, Miller, and Robinson back. And, you know, Long was more precautionary in his exit last week. I would expect him to pretty much play a full game against the Eagles unless he really is just not quite 100%. But I wouldn't think they would have brought him back from injured reserve last week if, you know, he wasn't this close to being able to be 100%. So the fact that he isn't even taking a veteran day off, or sort of that, you know, giving him that extra rest, the fact that he's able to go full blast on a Wednesday practice is definitely a good sign. Now, the bad sign comes from the two players that did not practice on Wednesday: safety Eddie Jackson and outside linebacker Aaron Lynch. Now, the two of them, of course, sat out against the Minnesota Vikings last week, and if my memory serves me correctly, they did not play against the San Francisco 49ers either, both of them suffering their injuries against the Green Bay Packers in that Week 15 win. Eddie Jackson, of course, dealing with the ankle injury, suffered on the interception he made of Aaron Rodgers, and then Aaron Lynch seemed to hyperextend an elbow that looked not so comfortable in that Packers game as well, and the two of them starting off the week as not participating. And, you know, I think everyone can agree, you know, one of those two is significantly more impactful than the other. The Bears can survive without Aaron Lynch at outside linebacker. They, you know, Khalil Mack and Leonard Floyd, they can pretty well make up for it, and maybe Isaiah Irving and Kylie Fitz can give them a little something too. But Eddie Jackson still not participating with that ankle injury is a concern here to start the week. That, you know, Deion Bush has filled in for him and has done a fine job. You know, that may even sound a little too complimentary. He's done a decent job. He's been okay. He's been more of what I would consider an average starting quality safety at best. He's been able to, you know, come down and wrap up pretty consistently. I think he's delivered a couple hits. He's been targeted a few times. He had a penalty last week, I remember. I don't remember what the flag was. I think it was the face masking when he was coming on that deep ball over the middle. That was his only target in the game, and he did break up the pass, but just flagged in the process. So, you know, Deion Bush not really making the big plays, but not surrendering the big plays so much as of yet. But when you start turning your attention to the playoffs and the Philadelphia Eagles, even though Nick Foles is under center and maybe he doesn't scare you that much given some of his history, there is the potential there for big plays in this Eagles offense, a la Alshon Jeffrey, who we're going to talk about a little bit more in just a little bit. But I think Eddie Jackson could really be that energetic, returning difference maker to the back end of this defense to provide that little extra juice if they can indeed get him back out there. You know, an Eddie Jackson turnover feels like it could kind of be the difference in a game like this. I think the Eagles are going to be able to play the Bears very tough and go largely blow for blow with them, despite some of their weaknesses, particularly in the secondary, and despite Nick Foles as the quarterback under center. You don't want to underestimate the defending Super Bowl champions. And obviously, every healthy player you can have out there is a key, but especially when you're talking about a potential defensive player of the year candidate, the best player in your secondary, and an emerging young safety in the NFL, getting him back on the field as one of those secondary leaders on this team would absolutely be critical against the Eagles. And him starting off the week as a DNP on the injury report is not the start you want to see. Even if Eddie Jackson isn't able to go on Sunday, the Bears shouldn't have any shortage of motivation, especially after some of the comments Alshon Jeffrey made on Wednesday. We'll get to that and much more coming up next on Locked On Bears. Thank you for tuning in to this Thursday edition of Locked On Bears, our second podcast of 2019. Happy New Year, and thanks for sticking with us in yet another calendar year. Now, Alshon Jeffrey was one known to occasionally make some headlines for his public comments when he was a member of the Chicago Bears, and that continued this week in his meeting with reporters with the Philadelphia Eagles, just in their locker room. You know, it wasn't a full-on table podium press conference. It was just the media scrum in front of his locker. He was asked about getting ready for this matchup, playing in Chicago for the first time. You may remember he played the Bears last year. What would that have been? Late in the season, week 12. It was a 31-3 victory for the Eagles, a pretty one-sided affair, as the Eagles were rolling and the Bears were crashing. Alshon Jeffrey had 5 catches for 52 yards and a touchdown in that one, and it sounds like he's really looking for more this time around.
Is there some of your feelings when you think about going back there?
I don't really have no feelings, honestly. I mean, it's a playoff game. It's the only thing I'm feeling. It's a playoff game. Think about last year.
Everybody talks about the front seven, but how good is the secondary going to be facing on Sunday?
They're playing football. I mean, they got a lot of turnovers. They haven't played the Eagles, though. But, I mean, they got a lot of turnovers. Hats off. I get those guys credit. They're playing football.
It sounds like, from talking in the past, Chicago still holds a big part of your heart. Is it going to be fun going back there, like to the city at least?
I love the city of Philadelphia, yeah, man.
Okay.
I love the city of Philadelphia. Chicago was just when I was there for work.
Okay. So is there any emotions for you playing the Bears this week?
I don't got no emotions. It's a football game. They're in the way of where we're trying to go.
Yeah. You care you how you're received when you kind of jog out of there?
Booze, it don't matter to me. I play for the Eagles, so
that
comes with the nature of the business.
Does it fuel you when you get those boo birds?
It don't matter to me, man. I'm just playing football.
You had that game circled on your schedule last year. Does it still have meaning the second time around?
Nah. Like I said, it's a playoff game. They ain't aware of where we're trying to go. That's how I look at just one game.
Alshon, is there anything about Soldier Field that I've talked to the guys? I know certain fields have different, you know, footwork, traction, you know, that field's kind of frozen a lot. Is there anything that you remember about playing there that
the field,
you're taken to?
The field is terrible. I definitely know that. But at the same time, it's football, man.
Is it? I mean, you had great games there. So, I mean, is it when you say it's terrible, is it
I mean, it's, I'm talking about
harder to get your traction, or
you definitely got to wear a lot of. You got to wear studs. You got to wear screw in creeks. I mean, but we all, when I was there, we always used to tell our equipment manager, like, we got to change the field, get the field better. But not disrespecting it like that, but I'm just saying, it is terrible.
Again, that was former Chicago Bears wide receiver Alshon Jeffrey meeting with reporters in the Philadelphia Eagles locker room. That sound courtesy of the Philadelphia Eagles official website. And a few different things to kind of piece together and pull apart there. First of all, trying to downplay it a little bit, with Alshon kind of trying to say it's not a big deal, and, you know, but then kind of sneaking in some shots there, does kind of seem like classic Alshon Jeffrey. And you'll notice in that audio clip, I intentionally left in some of the dead air. And when you listen to his answer, some of the pauses, sometimes when I include these audio clips, I'll trim it down a little bit just to make it a little bit tighter, a little bit more, you know, quicker and easy to kind of get through so we can break it down afterward. But I thought it was important with some of Alshon's answers to kind of leave that dead air in there, that just that background noise. You could kind of hear and feel a little bit of what he's saying in addition to just hearing the words that came out of his mouth. And, you know, I think Bears fans have every reason to feel a little bit, I don't know, irked by those Alshon Jeffrey comments. He didn't come out and specifically say anything directly inflammatory, although the comment there about loving the city of Philadelphia and Chicago only being the city that he worked in, that one I know rubbed a lot of people the wrong way. And he actually talked to Ian Rappaport from NFL Network to sort of clarify it a little bit. He texted with Ian Rappaport. Alshon said he loves the city of Chicago and meant no disrespect. He was talking about the rough environment that led to the coach/GM firing. He did love his first 2 years, but he loves Philly with the work environment, and of course, they won the Super Bowl there. So Alshon certainly has plenty of reason and a nice ring to like Philadelphia, perhaps more than Chicago, where he dealt with some poor locker rooms and some changing regimes. And I was always kind of under the impression that when he left, there was some, you know, some hurt feelings maybe with Ryan Pace, that he didn't necessarily leave on the best terms, so it's not the biggest surprise in the world that maybe he would be a little bit salty, and he has some reason to be confident given the Super Bowl ring that he won last year. But at the same time, I mean, he's Alshon Jeffrey. He's not the number one wide receiver in the NFL. He's a solid number one type contributor. 789 yards last year, 9 touchdowns, and 843 this year in only 13 games. I mean, he is a quality wide receiver, not a true quote unquote number one in the traditional sense in how he's used, but a very good player and a player, I think, with some reason to be upset about what happened in Chicago and reason to be confident about what's going on in Philadelphia, but still plenty of motivating factors there for the Bears. Plenty of reason for this team to be a little bit fired up about being able to play Alshon, although there's only so many guys still left on this roster that actually were his teammate just 2 seasons ago. I mean, there's a handful of guys on both sides of the ball, but I'm particularly interested in the Kyle Fuller matchup, just given the 2 years that they spent together practicing against each other every single day, or excuse me, 3 seasons. It'd be 14, 15, and 16. 3 seasons of Fuller versus Alshon Jeffrey every single day in practice. You know, those guys really going head-to-head. And, you know, they've both developed and grown a little bit since then, and Kyle Fuller is now a Pro Bowl cornerback with a league-leading 7 interceptions this year. Well, Alshon Jeffrey at 28, almost 29 years old, is, you know, kind of deep into that prime of his career and settling into that role as a big-bodied, top-flight wide receiver, but not a true game-breaker, game-changer. So I don't know if Alshon will be truly ready for what Kyle Fuller has become, but I'm sure Alshon will also be able to throw some new things at Kyle Fuller that he hasn't faced before. And I tell you, that might be the most interesting matchup for me to watch, just to kind of see how those two potential old friends and at least old teammates battle it out on Sunday. I'm also really curious to see how the Bears offense tries to battle it out on Sunday in terms of getting physical with this Eagles front 7. So still to come on the podcast, we're going to break down the recent resurgence of Jordan Howard, look at kind of the big key that I think was much more a Matt Nagy change than a Jordan Howard change. That's next on Locked On Bears. So as we continue our look ahead to the Bears wild card matchup with the Philadelphia Eagles, I want to turn our attention to the recent resurgence of the Chicago Bears running game, and in particular, Jordan Howard. You look over the last 5 weeks of the season, he racked up 399 yards and 4 touchdowns, came in just 65 yards short of that 1,000-yard mark, and you know, really coming on strong at the end of the season as the Bears seem to be just a more physical offense as a whole as this year has gone on. You know, early on, it felt like this was more of a horizontal type, you know, certainly a lot of passing and stretching the field that way, and screens and, you know, end arounds and misdirections and handoffs, and they still do a lot of that stuff, but it seemed like earlier in the season that was more the identity of the offense, and in recent weeks they've been able to sit back, rely on that running game a little bit more, and be those that tone setter and establish that physical style of play that the opponent then has to adjust to. And we've talked a lot on this podcast just about the difference, you know, with Jordan Howard, why he was struggling earlier in the season. I thought a lot of it was offensive line based and some play calling based. And as the season has gone on and as he's gotten better, I do think the offensive line has settled in a little bit more and has been run blocking better. But I think it's also true that Matt Nagy seems to be doing a better job of putting Jordan Howard in the best position to be successful. And there's a couple of different things that go into that. One is just simply sticking with the running game, and particularly in the third quarter, you know, that was always the time when Nagy really got away from the running game and seemed to get really pass happy in those third quarters. And then all of a sudden, you know, they start to blow some of those second half leads as they don't sustain drives because the passing isn't able to keep the offense on the field and keep the defense off the field. So then as the defense got tired, the pass rush got tired, opposing offenses were able to string together some drives, and it proved to be a poor recipe for success. But in these last few weeks, it seems like they've been more keen to stick to the running game early and often, and you know, not abandon it in that third quarter. And I think you've kind of seen as the year goes on, their splits by quarter in terms of rushing has gotten closer. There's still only 92 attempts in the third quarter compared to 122, 120, and 126 in the three other quarters. That discrepancy was much greater earlier in the season. We're seeing it come back to be a little bit more balanced as of late. So I give Matt Nagy credit that way, but maybe the even bigger thing has come with a change in the run types of play calls. So when you talk about running the football, there are two types of blocking schemes that you see around in the NFL. There's zone rushing and there's gap schemes. And zone rushing is what the Bears ran under John Fox and Dowell Loggins. They ran under Mark Trestman before that. And it's the most common type of run. And that's it's more of a flow type of a block where the entire offensive line blocks in the same direction. The running back is reading his keys, and he picks a lane before then finally attacking upfield after kind of flowing a little bit horizontally first. Whereas the gap scheme includes kind of your power runs, your counters, your traps, and just your pure man-to-man style of blocking. And in those types of plays, the blocking predetermines which gap your running back is going to take. So if you have a pulling offensive lineman, you know, there's going to be a double team that creates a hole. The pulling lineman is going to pull through that hole as a lead blocker, and the running back is going to follow him. And the running back does not have any authority to cut back because the blocking is not set up for him to cut back. When he cuts back, it'll take away the leverage of the blockers and really just put him into the arms of the defender. So Matt Nagy comes in and tries to install and force in more of these gap scheme styles of run that he was successful with at times with the Kansas City Chiefs. They were still running plenty of zone, but it was much closer to a pure 50-50 split, sometimes a little bit more gap than zone, depending on the game and the game plan. And that's when we really saw Jordan Howard struggle the most, and especially in some of those early season games, not so much against the Packers, but I think Seahawks and Cardinals after that, when Howard just struggled to get the yards per carry going. It was those games that you see the highest percentage of the Bears' gap scheme runs. But as the year goes on, it became very clear that Jordan Howard wasn't that comfortable in it, and Matt Nagy started to figure that out. It was a slow process. You still saw some fluctuation as the year went on, but you get into these final four games in particular, and it's been over 90% zone in just those four games. It's really been, I think, the biggest key to getting Jordan Howard going. You look over the course of the season, Howard averaged 2.9 yards per carry on gap and 4.1 yards per carry on zone blocking schemes. First 8 weeks of the season, it was just under 60% zone, and the second 8 weeks of the season, 75% zone. Final four games were over 84% zone running for Jordan Howard. You can see this clear trend of Matt Nagy figuring it out, Matt Nagy changing his play calling, and as a result, you know, he stops trying to fit Jordan Howard as a square peg into a round hole, and then instead puts his running back in the best position to be successful, calling the types of runs that Howard is most comfortable with, that Howard's able to have the most success with, and as a result, you have a more consistent running game. You have a running style that, again, not only is Jordan Howard most comfortable with it, but this offensive line was built under John Fox and built for that offense. You have a zone-blocking offensive line. Charles Leno, Cody Whitehair, Kyle Long, Bobby Massey, and James Daniels at Iowa ran a lot of zone. They were a zone rushing team at Iowa. So this is a zone blocking offensive line. This is a zone running back. And it took Matt Nagy most of the season to really kind of figure it out. And I would assume this has been a conscious decision given the clear trend. But he's figured out that this running game is much more effective behind these zone schemes, whether it's the inside zone or the outside zone stretch runs. Jordan Howard is much more comfortable there, setting up his blocks, using his great vision and his ability to work with his offensive linemen. He's not going to be the most explosive. He's not going to be the fastest. He's not going to make a bunch of guys miss in the hole. But he is going to set up his blocks. He is going to run hard, and he's going to attack upfield in the right way and make the cutbacks at the right time and not try and cut back too much or try and do too much like Tariq Cohen does sometimes, but just fully take advantage of what the offensive line is able to give him, which, again, I give them credit for also doing a better job as the year's gone on. So overall, it's a multi-part offensive running game resurgence, but I think the biggest correlation and causation trend to go with that running game improvement is the return of the zone running scheme and getting away from the gap scheme that Nagy had initially wanted to implement. I hope that wasn't too hard to understand. I know sometimes understanding it, the X's and O's, and explaining it in football needs a little bit of a visual component. So you can see a couple examples that I wrote over on Bears Wire the other day, kind of breaking down the difference between the zone and the gap scheme runs. Or if you have any questions about it, you can always get in touch with us on Twitter at Locked On Bears, or you can join the Locked On Bears Facebook group for an even more direct line to me and other great listeners of this show. Just go on Facebook and search Locked On Bears group and request to be added, and I'll make sure you're not some Packers fan in hiding trying to infiltrate behind enemy lines, and you can join in for even more daily Chicago Bears news and analysis. I hope you'll also subscribe to the podcast if you're new to the show. It's the best way to keep up with everything we'll be putting out this week. Tomorrow we'll be getting some inside Philadelphia Eagles scoop, assuming I can still lock things down with Louie from Locked On Eagles. We're still trying to set an exact time that we can record the podcast, but if everything goes as planned, we will get the local expert on the Philadelphia Eagles to give us everything we need to know for Sunday's matchup. I think you're going to find a lot of Eagles fans confident going into this game, feeling like they are the defending Super Bowl champions and that the Bears have to unseat them, but I think that's all the more reason you need to stand strong and bear down.